Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It is good to have you with us tonight and every night. To all of those of you who stream from around the world in many, many different places, thank you for being with us. We're honored to be able to bring to you the Word of God that He gives us to share with you. And, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to see all of the far-reaching effects of what we're doing. Somebody made a comment today on one of our YouTube messages from the morning prayer time. And so I went and checking it out. See, you know, actually they said, would you pray for me? So if ever you guys see a YouTube comment show up that says, would you pray for me? I encourage you to go immediately there, every one of you, and pray a prayer of faith for them. Because when somebody's willing to say publicly, I need prayer, they probably really need prayer. You know what I mean? And I'm not the only one that knows how to pray. All y'all do. We've been studying it now for 3 years. How to pray the prayer of faith. Speak to the mountain to be removed. Speak life and life more abundantly. Pray for the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside their mortal bodies. And it's a good thing. I think they were from Oklahoma. Interesting part was that video had 22 views. And it's one of the morning prayer times. And the temptation is to say, let me see, why would we use the word temptation there? That's like saying, I almost had a thought.
Yeah.
So, anyways, you know, thank you for being there. Thank you. Join us in prayer. Seriously, join us in prayer every morning because we're asking God for His wonderful help and strength, speaking over America, speaking over your families. Sister Leanne is very faithful, very, very, very faithful to pray over our children. I don't think you could ever pray too much for the kids, could you? You just, it doesn't matter. And that's not just praying that they get all A's, you know. It's truly asking God to get involved in their life. And, you know, whether you got kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, or great-great-great-grandkids, or whatever, never stop speaking the word of faith over their life. Because guarantee you, if that world out there, they're not speaking faith over them. They're speaking death and destruction, and we're not going to put up with that. Jesus, mighty name. Brother John Wayner, bless you, sir. Good to have you with us tonight. All the way from John Waynerville.
John Waynerville, where is that in there?
John Waynerville, Roger Oxy, bless you, Brother Dan, Sister Phillip, Brother Dan and Sister Gwen, Sister Phillip, Brother Ripley right here next to me. All right. Maybe we should just call him the good old hound dog Ripley. He flipped his ear at me when I said that. So welcome. Hopefully you had a beautiful day where you are, just like we did. I just love North Dakota because, like this year, winter started in November. I didn't like that. And it lasted clear through March. And you're just like, come on already, give us spring. And then it's like there's just one weekend, boom, you get spring and summer, and it just happens automatically.
It was today.
I was driving, for those of you that was a part of the program this morning, as I was driving up that Coolies, you know, up that hill, when everybody was on, I was showing you the pictures.
Yeah.
There's trees up all those little Coolies. And last week, they were just all sticks.
Oh.
Today, leaves on everything. And
I love that.
Just a matter of 3 days, all the leaves. It's like, how? And they're all green. How in the world does that happen in a matter of a couple of days? But that's just God. That's how he works. That's who he is. That's how it is. So last night, we were studying what season is it? And we're going to stick with that a little bit tonight. And tonight's message, stopping. Well, Jesus, you say it. Tonight's topic.
Crush the deception, know, and share the truth. There's nothing on here that sounded like stop it.
No, the topic. That's the study and the topic all together.
Got it.
Anyways, welcome. It's good to be back in the studio with you.
Wow. Amen.
God says go. All right, when you going, brother? John Wainer on a mission trip. That will probably last the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure that the streets of Arizona have changed significantly since you were last there. Seeing how this week, 150,000 people made a run for the border, and it wasn't Taco Bell.
Friday.
Wow. That's awesome, bro. Got to get that paycheck and hit the road, man. Oh, man. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless Brother John.
Yes.
We declare over his life, over his work, his ministry, what you've given him to do, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. We don't have to ask the angels to be with Brother John because we know angels. You're already with him, but we declare the word of God over John, and that is the angels of the Lord go before you, bless you, keep you safe. And I like that verse in Psalm that the psalmist said, he will perfect that which concerns you.
Yeah.
And then he said that to Joseph. That was Jonah, Moses, and Joseph all at the same time. That's a big word. He said to Moses, my angel will go with you, and he will give you rest. But Moses said, I ain't going if you're not going. And God said, my angel will go with you. But then he said, don't make him mad, because he won't forgive your sins. Of course, that was Jesus. Because no angel can forgive your sins. And Michael the Archangel, amen. Amen, brother. Amen. God is God. God is God. So tonight we're gonna hit it. We're gonna hit it right off the gate here. Crush the deception, know and share the truth. What season is it? It's time It's the season to crush the deception. And I know there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that you would say, Pastor, I'd like to crush the deception that's in them, but they don't ever seem to listen to me. Well, I understand that fact. But here's the reality. You and I have the truth, and it lives in us. And he lives in us because Jesus is the living word, and he's the truth. And I think what many of us are finding is Jesus is living in us, and so we walk into a situation, and a person there, that person. Well, now you got to say, well, what do I do? And say, I actually saw two like that this last week. And the one was the manager of the store. And I'm like, what do I do? What do I say? I did everything I could to get so that that lady would wait on me. You know, so I could speak to her across the register. She just kept moving on down. So then, you know, I just walked out and said, well, I'm not sure what that is, Jesus, but set her free. But I could tell by the witness of the Spirit that there was something there and that God wanted to minister to him. And so we're going to talk about that tonight, teach about that, and study together. I have begun the conversation with Wilkins Radio. Did I look that up today? Did I tell you what he said, though? Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you?
No. The last I talked to you, they haven't gotten back to you.
All right. Well, let me just catch it real quick. I didn't see if I received anything today from them. We were trying to wait till we had a whole bunch of money all paid up, but God just said, let's go. Well, yeah, there he goes right there. Kansas City and Pensacola. $30 a program. That's the AM and the FM station. All right. Well, there we go. All right. So it'll not only be Blog Talk Radio, but it'll be a stick radio station. That's pretty cool. I thoroughly enjoyed that in the early 2000s. And in a local community there in West France, really had quite an impact with the radio program. And it was a very interesting situation, but that's not what tonight's about. So we'll just say that and move on. Are we ready? Let's pray our opening prayer. Long document. There it is. Let's pray our opening prayer tonight. Want everybody to pray it with us. Isn't that something? I know how to do this. Isn't that something? There we go. It's very interesting. You click the button and say, please open, please open, please open. I've been liking this. Sister Leanne's been doing this in every one of the morning programs, so let's do it today. You will? Rise together with me. Let's make a pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And now the pledge to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who have paid their last full measure of devotion. We've done this over and over and over. And I made a commitment to the families of the fallen that I met in the state of Michigan. I made a statement I will never forget. And when you make a statement like that, you got to follow it through. You got to carry it out. Because Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. So this moment of silence will last 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. Moment of silence is in honor of every warrior who today bears the scars of combat in their spirit, soul, and body. Join with me as we honor the fallen today. Now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. And now, pray our opening prayer with me this evening. We pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's say this one. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for us, brethren, to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, and dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. Now, isn't that interesting? Here we go. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. And now, we pray the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, I pray this right now. Over every patriotic event that's going on right now, every church service, this is midweek service night, every revival, every tent meeting, every place where someone is meeting together to declare God bless America, may they start with prayer, may they end with prayer, and may they talk about what makes America great, the righteousness of God. We know our God. We call it done now today in Jesus' mighty name. Speak this with us. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. I always like us to start out with prayer like that, because it gives us a point of agreement that all of us can join together in and agree together in God. Now, all right, let's try that camera again. Give me just a couple more clicks here. There we go. Now, turn with me tonight in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Last night, we started by saying, what season is it? What season is it? And, you know, of course, here it's spring. And, you know, maybe it feels like summer where you are. The closer you get to the equator, the closer you get to summer. And we talk about it's time to know God, or it's time to meet God, it's time to know God, and it's time to share God. show God, share God, get him out to people. Tonight, I want to talk tonight about crush the deception. Know the truth. What season is it? It is the season of crushing the deception. Now, not going to read all of Acts chapter 1 like we almost did last night. I want us to go down to verse 4 to 8. This is our foundation text. And then we're going to go run around with Jesus and see what he has to say. He's always a good one to run around with, isn't he?
Amen.
A to the men and the women. Just so you know, I understand what it's all about. Here we go. Verse 4. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have already heard this from me." I like how Jesus is. I taught you this once, and I'm already telling you again. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" Clear back then, the Israelites were saying, restore the kingdom. And they're talking about an earthly kingdom on the earth, break Rome off their back. He said, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." But he didn't say it's that you can't understand the times and seasons. He's saying the ones that's in his authority, you're not going to understand that, because no man knows the day or the hour when the Father will say, "Go get my kids." But I always like it when it was time to go get the kids. Why? I love my kids. Don't you love your kids when you get to see them and you haven't seen them in a while? It's like, time to go get the kids. Yeah, we do. Anyways, verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem," that's your city, "Judea," that's your county, your region, "Samaria," that's your state, your nation, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 24. What season is it? It's the season to crush the deception, know and share the truth. Okay? Now, let's go down here. Well, let's just start at verse 1. Matthew 24, 1. And we'll probably go clear to 14. Ready? Get a good foundation laid, and then we'll just go for it. I heard a man preaching the other day saying, when you're up preaching, don't make it your flamboyance. Is that a good word?
Mm-hmm.
Your flamboyability. That almost sounds wrong. Anyways, just preach the word. The word has the ability to do it. Amen. So here we go. Matthew 24. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. So where is Jesus? He's on the Mount of Olives, the exact place where he's going to come back from heaven to earth and touch his foot down, right there on the Mount of Olives. Now, I don't know. I don't have any proof that Jesus says this, but I believe Jesus says to the Father, "I really like that Olive Garden." Because he went there often to pray and minister to the Father and receive strength. And the angels came and ministered to him there. He went out there to pray after the Last Supper. So let's read. Jesus said, "Do you not know all these things? Answer, assuredly I say to you, not one of these stones will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." He was telling them, destruction is coming. Verse 3. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age." Now remember, this teaching right here is not in front of a whole bunch of people. This is his disciples. Most of the New Testament, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're getting the behind-the-scenes story that Jesus is teaching to the disciples after the events of the day. So here we go. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceive you. Therefore, the purpose of the word, know the truth, crush the deception." Know the truth, crush the deception. Jesus said, be careful that no one deceive you. Be careful that no one deceive you. He's not going to say that unless it's possible to be deceived, but this is what you and I know. If you and I know the truth, then we're not going to be deceived. And what I love about God Almighty is God is going to fill you with so much truth that there isn't going to be any ability for any enemy to stand up against you. When you know the truth and you live in the truth and you walk in truth, there's no other place for it to go except for peace and strength and power and might and dominion. Keep reading. "Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you do not be deceived." He says it again. "See that you do not be deceived." Why? Because there's obviously going to be deception out there. Everybody pause for a minute. I got an app that is learning right now how to function properly. There we go. John, that's where it is. That's where the Garden of Gethsemane was. Yes. Out there on the Mount of Olives. Now, let's get back to Matthew 24. Come on, apps. All of y'all work together. "Many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and they'll deceive many. Don't follow them. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled." Jesus actually said, "See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come past, and the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation." You can see it. "Kingdom against kingdom." Well, we can see that. But think about the clash between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Darkness and light are clashing at a rate now that it is every day. There's no gray. It's either dark or light, which is what we really have needed to have happen for quite a while now, because it's the gray that messes people's lives up. When it's dark, sin, dark, black, people don't have any question about that. And when it's hot righteousness, people don't have any question about that. It's when we allow that gray, that lukewarmness to get in, that people have a question. So the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light are clashing every day. Make sure you're always on the side of the kingdom of light. You don't want to be standing with those in the kingdom of darkness. You want to be able to walk free from that. Verse 8. "All these are the beginning of sorrows. They'll deliver you up to tribulation, kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, it will be in abundance." Now, this day represents that to the nth degree. "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Because lawlessness will abound. Huh. Hold on.
Can you get booted out?
No. I'm not sure what that was all about. If Sunday came in. Welcome, Sunday. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Verse 10, many will be offended and will betray one another. Don't be one of those. And they'll hate one another. Don't be one of those. False prophets will rise up. Don't be one and don't follow one. Lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. He who endures to the end shall be saved. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's get our foundation laid here. 2 Thessalonians chapter Thessalonians is right before Brother Timothy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And always remember, in this gathering of believers, it's never wrong to go to the front of your Bible and say, what is that book? Find the page. You always got to know where to find the information that you need. Here we go. 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's go to verse number. Let's go clear back to 3. Let no one deceive you by any means. Can you get the picture that God, through Jesus, through Paul, through Peter, through John, through Jude, through all of them, said, let no one deceive you? Because deception is going to be rampant in this day. And you have to know the truth in order to be above the deception. Let's keep reading. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. How many can say it with me? He's not God. He's not God. Verse 5. Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Well, follow all the pronouns, all right? Because those uncapitalized he's is talking about the Antichrist. And now, verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Well, that's just what Jesus just said. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. What is going to be the problem in the last days? Lawlessness. What does that mean? They just don't care. They've been creased, and we studied this morning, they've been an elephant tied to a chain, and the chain is lawlessness. And they've been told that nobody can judge you or say anything against you. If you want to be lawless, you can be lawless, and nobody can say anything about it. Well, that's true. Go be whatever you want to be. Let me just warn you. You're not going to like the result of lawlessness.
Amen.
There's got to be the law somewhere saying, no, stop it. That's wrong. I saw a news commentator the other day wad up the paper they were reading from and throw it right at the camera and say, you're just stupid. You don't have a womb. You can't be a woman. And you're just standing there acting like you're some kind of intelligent something. You're just dumb. I thought, well, hallelujah, somebody's saying it. I'm not against somebody that's confused in their gender. You're only confused because somebody told you to be confused. And Brother John said, just go to the bathroom. You can figure out real quick what you are. Back to this before we go down the wrong trail. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Now notice this, only he, capital He, who now restrains will do so until he, capital He, is taken out of the way. And then the lawlessness will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. You do not want to be connected to that lawless one in any sense of the word, no matter what, no matter how, nothing. Flee. Get away from it. Get away. It's like out here. Tourists will come. And it seems they think they can cuddle a buffalo. Now, I understand buffaloes look cuddly because they got the big fuzzy thing around. You know, just give them a big hug. That's what they need. But they don't want you hugging the air near them. They just don't. And we've seen a couple of little buffaloes that we'd like to bring home with us. But we never could get them to get in the car with us. Right. No.
And mom and dad said no.
No, and mom and dad said no. Don't. You gotta not run to wickedness. Run from it. You don't have to be a prude or a prune. You don't have to be a weirdo. But flee from wickedness. Flee from stupidity. Men are men and women are women. That's it. Everybody hollering, I'm something else besides, I'm stuck on this. I got to get off this. Every one of them people hollering it was born of a woman. It's the only way to get in this earth. Are you guys finally over it? Can I move on now? 9. The coming of a lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, wonders, and lying ones. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Now look at this. Because they did not receive the love of the truth. You've got to love the truth. That they might be saved. There's people that don't love truth in any sense of the word. And their spirit will clash with your spirit. Yep, that'll be serious. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I was going to call you yesterday and today, but wow, what a day. But I will call you tonight about 1:30 in the morning. Just answer the phone. That's my mother. 10. 11. And look at verse 11 and 12. This is so powerful. For this reason, God will send a strong delusion that they will believe a lie. They will believe a lie. Why? Because they've been given strong delusion. Why? Because they do not have the love of the truth. And this is so simple to train your children to have the love of the truth. It's so simple. What do? You just train them to love God's word and teach them that you don't know it all. Teach them, let's study this. Let's figure out, let's see what God's saying. Let's get the revelation of it. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to read this whole chapter is what I'm going to do. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. I love this. And belief in the truth. What's our title? Crush the deception, know and share the truth. Verse 14, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Go now to the book of Luke. Luke. And we're going to go to Luke. We're going to go to Luke. Help me find that place. Where did it go? It's just still not showing Luke. Luke 12. There we go. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. Well, let's stop by Luke 12 first. Get your Bible open. Study along with us. Now, this is Jesus teaching about beware of hypocrisy. And you didn't know that word, you could just say hypocrisy, being a hypocrite. Amen. I like that, Mom. I don't know if you wrote delusion on purpose, but I like that. Go for it. Preach the word. Many have the strong delusion. May their delusion be deluded and they find Jesus. I like that. Here we go. Beware of hypocrisy. Whoops, I forgot to see what verse we're going to. Anybody remember?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1. In the meantime, we're going to read, let's go down here. I'm just going to read a bunch of this. Luke. One through 12. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, look at this, so that they trampled one another. Listen, one thing about being here with us, nobody's going to trample you. Maybe your dog jumping up on the chair with you, and you won't get trampled in. He began to say to his disciples, first of all, stop the trampling. Everybody move back. Look at what it says. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, being a hypocrite. Ready? We say it all the time. They look religious. They act religious. They talk religious. They can keep a whole mess of laws all at the same time, and they don't have a righteous bone in their body. Verse 2, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. I have used this verse many times in talking about and dealing with politicians and those who are doing what they can to pervert and destroy the United States of America. You don't get to destroy this great nation that God set up. Now watch this. Jesus is saying, beware that on the inside of you, you don't have a hypocritic life. You speak one thing out here. You do one thing out where everybody can see you. But it's only done for the purpose that everybody will see you. Now, there's a lot of reasons why people do that. One, probably the number one most important reason is because somebody taught them that that's the way you do it. The most destructive doctrine you will ever believe is one that was given to you by a well-meaning, completely wrong, loving Christian. That's going to be one of the most destructive. Why? Because you knew they loved you and you knew they meant well. And you knew they were going to give you everything they could give you to help you make it. And then to find out, you know what? That is just not the right doctrine right there. They did not understand that properly. And now what happens? Now you got to fight all that down on the inside of you. And you got to be able to get it all out. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to ask God by revelation to help you get it out. Because if you don't, you'll become religiously arrogant. And you can't have that. You gotta be able to know the truth. The truth set you free. Have no desire on the inside of you at all for anything except may you see Jesus in me. I heard a great man of God speak by the Holy Spirit probably 2 years ago. And it's one of those statements you hear that just marks your life forever. he said that the lady brought her son to him. And he said this boy was severely demon-possessed. And I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and didn't get the demon cast out. And he said, when the mom left with her son, still bound, I went to my prayer closet and said, Jesus, that family came here today because they believe I know you. And all they got when they got here was me. And all I wanted to give them was you. Pastor, was the guy a hypocrite? No, he just wasn't skilled in casting out demons. He had to figure out how to get in this secret place, get the junk, the leaven of the Pharisees. You don't have to have all that stuff. You don't have to act like all that. You just be a good little Christian, go to church, you know, put $20 in the offering every now and then. It'll be all right. No, it will not be all right. You will stand before Jesus and give an account. So we got to take it farther than what the Pharisees would give you. I don't have the reference right now, but Jesus actually said of the Pharisees, you make them all the more a child of hell. You make them all the more a child of hell. My goodness, the last thing you and I want to do is, by our words leading another person, make them a child of hell. Jesus, Lord, have mercy on my soul. 25:15. Thank you, Lord.
23:15.
Matthew 23:15. Blue 42. 23:25:15. Here we go. Matthew, let's just read it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much the son of hell as yourself. Why? Because, look at what it says, verse 16, you blind guys, whoever swears by the temple is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obliged to perform it. Jesus was rebuking the stuffings out of them guys. Let's keep reading. I'm back in Luke 12. What was spoken in secret will be heralded openly. That's why you want to live in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus every single day of your life. There's ever been a day that you live in the blood of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the righteousness of God, make it today, every day. Somebody was talking to me about temptation happening or something the other day, a couple days ago, probably 3 or 4 days ago. And I just told them, every fiery dart that comes to you, get violent against the enemy with the blood of Jesus. Pastor, how in the world do you do that? Father, I thank you that I get to use the blood of Jesus 24/7, 365. I have a heart that chases after you. I have a desire that wants to know you, Jeremiah 24/7. I choose to chase you 24/7. And I thank you that the blood covers every part of my mind, my soul, my spirit, my being. My past has been completely removed. You didn't hold any of my sin against me. You reconciled me and imputed none of my sins against me. What are you doing every time you do that? The enemy can't stick around when you're speaking the blood. You can't do that. He's not going to stick around. Why? Because the blood is what you and I have, and he has no ability to get to it. He said, I will exalt myself above you, God. God dropped, kicked him right out of heaven. It would have been interesting to see that situation go on. Anyways. Take the blood of Jesus every day. I encourage you. I've been doing this now for about, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks or something. I'm awake all night, and so I pray a lot, and I pray for all of you. So if you wake up in the middle of the night and you think about me, well, then pray for me because I'm praying for you. All right? pray in the spirit with the blood. Let me explain that. I'll start out by saying, I thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that has washed, cleansed, purged. All my sins are gone. I thank you, Father. And now I'm going to pray in the spirit through the blood of Jesus, and I'll pray in the spirit for a while. And I'll come back and say, and I thank you for the blood that covers all of this prayer that's in the spirit. See, what are you doing? You're taking the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus, two of the most powerful forces in the whole kingdom of God, and you are using those two forces, and the enemy can't understand your prayer language of the spirit, and he can't get through the blood. Yesterday, I'm driving this truck. Man, all of a sudden, I got codes and engine lights. I'm like, what in the world? Just driving. Stop it. And I spoke to it, and it didn't stop. You know how it is today. If your gas cap is not tight, you can get an engine warning on your dash, you know. So I stopped. Check both of my fuel, you know, covers, and check the def cover, and opened the hood and closed it, and kicked the left tire and the third one back, and wiggled the fender. You know, you have to do it. You have to figure out what it is. And, man, that didn't go off. I'm like, there ain't nothing wrong. I'm on a shaky road. That's all it is, you know. But I just began to pray in the spirit and pray it through the blood and speak the blood of Jesus over the tractor. Hey, if you was out in the field with your old oxen back in Jesus' day, you'd have spoke over it. So I began to speak the blood of Jesus over it. And I'd pray for you, and I'd come back and pray about the truck, speak to the computer and the wires and all the stuff. And, you know, when I got up to drive last night after I slept, wasn't a thing there and wasn't one all day long. Why? Because I used faith to change my world. The name of Jesus is the most powerful name there is on the face of the earth. The blood of Jesus is what washed, purged all your sin from your life. See, the Pharisees didn't care about the blood. They didn't care about new creation. They wanted you to abide by all 613 laws, and they wanted to brag that, don't worry, when you first start, you won't be able to do it like we are. But we can do it. If you stay out long enough, you might be able to. Probably won't be like me. See, that's religious arrogance. Who cares how long you've been in the kingdom? Because see, if you and I care about how long we're in the kingdom so we can tell it to everybody else, that's a pride thing. But when you go in your prayer closet and say, wow, thank you, Father, I've been in the kingdom now for this many years, that's a whole different story. But all of this comes down to the heart. Crush the deception. Know the truth. Keep reading. Verse 4, I'm in Luke 12:4. I say to you, my friend, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. I will show you from whom you should fear. Fear him whom after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? The sparrows. I heard somebody say today, have you been to the shore lately, the seashore, the lake shore, and seen the sand that's there? And God said, all the sands of the seas are how many thoughts I have toward you. That's a lot of thoughts. Verse 7, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God. He who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Why? because he's your helper. He's your comforter. He's the one that works alongside of you. He is the one that lives on the inside of you. He's the one that heals you from the inside out. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of your mortal body, giving you life in your mortal body. Life and life more abundantly. When they bring you up to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Now, let's grab one more set of verses, and then we'll preach this. We've not really been preaching yet. This is just the warm-up to get us to the point where we can teach and preach. Be of good cheer. I'm now going to... where was that going?
We're not sure.
You're not sure? I must not have told you. I'm going to refer... There, that's what I was going to say. John chapter 8. I'm going to refer to this verse. I'm going to just give it to you to put it in the notes. We're going to John 8, and we're going to read 21 through 47. Probably won't read it all, but I am going to preach it, teach it. But add this verse just into the verse list. Galatians 5:9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of the world, you're going to be worldly. A little bit of religiosity, you're going to end up over there. But Pastor, I saw all these people, and I just wanted to be like them, so I acted like them. Well, got a good word for you. God don't want you acting like nobody else but you. Guess what? I don't want you acting like nobody else but you. Why? I want you to know the truth. Because when you know the truth, it will set you free. But this is going to an interesting place tonight. Might not be done by 9 o'clock, though.
Sorry.
You ready? Crush. Wait a minute. Let me get my title right.
Crush the deception.
Crush the deception. Know and share the truth. Now watch. I'm sure there's people out there that are drawing me out to teach right while I'm trying to read the Bible, but stop it because I just need to read the Bible. There you go. I'm in John 8, 21. Jesus said to them again, who's them? The scribes and the Pharisees. And he's after them. I'm going away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Well, now, there's not a lot of Christian leaders that's going to look right at a bunch of religious people and look right at them and say, listen, what's going to happen? It's going to happen. You're going to die in your sin. People don't like that. It doesn't make them feel good and happy and have the wonderful holy goosebumps. But if you're going the wrong way, you need somebody to look at you and say, don't go that way anymore. Why? It's going to hurt you. Ready? 22, the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. He said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, I know it's real easy to sit here today and armchair quarterback this and say, well, I guarantee you, if I was one of them scribes and Pharisees, I'd have said to Jesus right then, well, I believe in you, sir. But if you've never known the power of religion, it is severe, and it's severely deceptive. I know a lot of people that have been bound by drugs, alcohol, and all that stuff, They quit it like that. Why? It's not hard to see. That's wrong. But religion and religiosity, when it looks good and it sounds good and it acts good, it might even have some good cologne and smell good. Jesus said, you're just a whitewashed sepulcher. If the goodness isn't coming from within, if it's just an action you put on the outside of you. You've got to know the truth so that you can crush the deception. That's the only other way around. Keep reading. Yeah. Somebody stop me to preach right there.
No, I want this.
Some of us like hearing you preach.
Well, thank you, Phyllis.
You know, the fact is, what's in your heart comes out of your mouth.
Amen.
You have a good heart. We want to hear it.
Amen. Here we go. 25. They said to him, who are you? And Jesus like, I am me. He didn't say that, but that's how I say it. Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Remember what Jesus said? I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear him say. 27. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father in heaven. Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught, I speak these things. He spoke himself and prophesied of his death on the cross right there. I like this part, verse 30. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Okay? There's a great multitude that has come around Jesus. And, of course, whenever the multitude showed up, the scribes and Pharisees came because they were jealous, because they couldn't draw a crowd like that. 31. Now, this is powerful. Everybody pay attention. Get your pen out. Get your circler out. Get your notepad out. And watch this. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him. He wasn't saying to those who didn't believe in him, quit messing around with people who choose not to believe. Go to God in the prayer room and say, open their eyes by a dream. Open their understanding by a dream. Show them an infallible proof. But I ain't wasting no more time on somebody who don't want to know the truth.
Yeah.
Doesn't do any good. You can't make somebody change that doesn't want to change. You can go in your prayer closet and do all the prayer work for them. Pray Almighty God gives them that dream, that revelation. I know it's real easy to say, Father, shake them over hell. That'll wake them up. Well, some people might not need to be shook over hell. They might need to see the glory of heaven. Right? I mean, I know Dr. Summerall tells the story of having a vision one day. I don't know whether he was sleeping or he was awake, but he was standing right at the precipice of hell. And thousands of people were going by him, falling off into the pit, going into eternal damnation. And God said, it's your fault. They're all going to hell. And he's like, I don't know any of these people. And God said, Lester, go to the world and save these people. Stop them from going to hell. Well, that five-minute vision, whatever it was that he had, shook Dr. Summerall down to his socks, as we would say. And he went to the world. And saved millions and millions of people through his ministry. And still today he is. Let's keep reading. I'm in 31. Jesus said to the Jews who believe, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I say this regularly, but I'm going to say it again. Ask God to give to you 10 verses that you can just study and speak and say and declare and confess and profess and study and meditate and speak. Ask him for 10 verses. Now listen, I'm not going to stop coming here like I did tonight and give you 35, 40, 50 verses. I'm never going to stop doing that. Why? Because when we actually see what the Bible says, we'll let go of all the stuff that was just man talk. even have to memorize every verse I come and preach. The ones that come alive to you, write those verses down and get them inside of your being. Get them down. Sister Leanne has been speaking a verse of scripture that I don't have memorized. And about 5 days in a row now on the morning program, I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm memorizing this verse. And I come to the next day and I'm like, jeez, I didn't even read it. Right? Just go there real quick. I love this. I love this. Jeremiah 24:7. Watch this. That ought to be the easiest verse that any of us could ever learn. Why? Because it's talking about being a Christian 24/7, and all you got to do is remember that Brother Jeremiah is the one that said it. Watch. Jeremiah 20, and look, it's not even underlined. I don't know why Sister Leanne didn't get my Bible and underline it for me. Get your own Bible underlined. Look what it says. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. They will be my people, and I will be their God. So right there, next to that in your Bible, write 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 19. Why? Because that's another good reference point where God says, I will be their God, and they will be my people. Verses 14 through 18, actually. He said in 16, I will dwell in them, walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And which one is he quoting there, too? Leviticus 26:12. Well, he also quoted Jeremiah 24:7. I will be their God, and you will be my people. Now, I love this verse because he said, I will give them a heart to know me. Notice that me is capitalized. See, guys, if you and I don't understand these things, and say, wait a minute, I don't care what CNN says. I don't even care what Fox says. I care what the Word of God says. I care what's going on in this book more than I'm concerned about what's going on outside of this building. People that come and say, Pastor, you didn't know this happened? No, I didn't. Well, it's just horrible, and it is horrible. But my mission is not to tell you the bad news. My mission is to tell you the good news. And I'm going to be faithful to that mission. God will give you a heart to know him. I'm back in John chapter 8. What was I just telling you and teaching? Get you 10 verses that belong to you. Don't worry about how many Dr. Barkley knows. Don't worry about how many verses I know. There's only one way I got to know the verses that I know. And that is, right here. I got me some of these cards like this, library cards. Is that what you call these? Index cards? I got me some of these right here. I wrote some verses of scripture on them. And I stuck them in my pocket. And when I was driving the newspaper route back in the day in northern Michigan, I'd get those out and just hold them. Like you wouldn't go to jail for holding verses in your hand like you would your phone. But anyways, I'd just hold them verses up, and I would speak them as I was driving and delivering the Detroit Free Press across northern Michigan. Why? Because I got to get the word down deep inside of my heart. As soon as that word gets in as revelation and you believe in that word and you don't speak it from memorization, you speak it from actualization. If you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 11, and you read it word for word, you're probably going to say, Pastor, I didn't quote that word for word. You're right, I didn't. But I give you the gist of it by saying this. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of your mortal body, giving you life. It's impossible to die when his spirit is in there producing life. You just don't know what I have. No, you just don't know how powerful he is. And it's the same Holy Spirit. Different message. Back to John chapter 8. I'm going to go on that one. Verse 31, if you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How? Because you're abiding in the word of God. Jesus is the living word. He is abiding in you. The Father is abiding in you. The Holy Spirit is abiding in you by the Spirit. And you are abiding in them as they live out through you every single day. If you missed last night's program, make sure you go back in here. It's a good foundation to what I just said. Let's keep reading, 33. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, man, you guys are dumber than a box of rocks. Okay, he didn't say that. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. This isn't deep. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So listen, any of you that's been born again, any of you that's been filled with the Spirit, your sins have been washed, they've been purged, they've been cleansed. You have been made a new creation. I know all that stuff from the past is trying to come up and show you itself and say, no, this is who you are. No, that is not who I am. And I just thank you, Father. That enemy just attacked my peace. I'm taking the blood of Jesus to him right now and the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I get done saying I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, and you're cast into the pit forever and you fall into the bottomless pit and are burned with unquenchable fire, I'll be in heaven rejoicing around the throne because of the blood of Jesus. See, that's Revelation 12:10. They overcome by the blood of a lamb and by the word of their testimony. Did I quote that verse exactly word for word? No. But I gave you the power that's in that verse. Why? Because you got to get this word inside of you so you can crush the deception that's coming at you. And in so doing, you're going to find a whole bunch of people around you saying, you know something I don't know. And just tell them, yeah, it's Jesus and his living word. Come and be with us. Here, I'm going to send you a YouTube video. Like this guy's page. This is where we go and we study and we grow and we develop. And guess what's going to come out of that? You're going to know the truth and be able to crush that enemy, not only in your own life, but in the lives of anybody that lets you get close to them. I have been, I've been speaking over many of these truck driving guys that I'm working with. Not to their face. I only do that when the Holy Spirit says do it. When the time shows up to do it, then I do it. But a brother stopped to help me the other day. I needed to plug my tire, and he had a plug kit, so he stopped and was giving me a hand. And I don't remember what I said to him, but I could tell he was a believer. I'm like, got to keep praying out here, man. He goes, man, that's the truth. Speak it. See, when you know the truth, not here on your lips in memorization, but down in here in your heart in actualization. Now, that truth has the ability to set you free. And, you know, Brother Dan and I was talking the other day. Brother Dan just sat up. We were talking about Bible college. Some of what I learned there was severe to get out of my life. figure out how to drive a truck. Everyone knows how to drive that. I worked for Dan's dad for one summer driving a lawnmower. And it took me a couple of days to get them lines straight like Uncle Paul wanted them, but he helped me. I got it straight. So you can learn that stuff. But nothing that you know by rote memory, and when I miss you, you hear people say, our Father, but art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our name. In Jesus' name, amen. You didn't get anything out of that. You got to get this word to get down inside this heart. Get religiosity out of the heart and get the living, breathing, holy word of God down inside. You cannot be set free until you know the truth. You might have seen somebody do it. You might have had a preacher who, it's like my dad, stomp, snort, and exhort. My dad was one fired up preacher. You got to take what he taught and go home, and it's got to get down inside of your life so it can change you. Isn't that something? Go there with me. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Isn't that something? Here's the reality. We started out with the verse in Acts. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. What's that mean? You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. John said, he that comes after me will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. All right? So then Jesus said, when that happens, you will be my witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. When you and I know the truth, and it's just deep inside of us, now we begin to share it with other people. When you just know religiosity, you won't share that with people. You know why? Because it didn't set you free. If the religiosity doesn't set you free, you're not going to try to convince somebody to come into a building for something that doesn't satisfy and set free. That's a powerful word. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are going to die in your sin. You and I can't say that to everybody that we meet on the street. You're going to die in your sin, and that's going to bring them all to Jesus. No. See, that's what happens. People said that to somebody. They got saved. So that's what they're going to say from now on. No, you got to be willing to say whatever it is that God gives you to say, whether it's love or judgment, whether it's heaven or hell. Because every person's going to be different to you. Now watch this. Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 through 9. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. We read this regularly. Let's read it again. But know this. So what's that mean? When you start with but, what's that mean? I just said a whole bunch of other stuff, but. Know this, in the last days, that's what season it is, the last days, perilous times will come. Now, who is Paul speaking to here? Paul, by the Spirit of God, is speaking to Timothy, his protege, his son in the faith, the pastor at Ephesus. Ephesus is the city that had statues that looked so much like they were real that they actually looked like a naked person standing there. That's their... I don't know what you call a statue maker. That's their statuariness ability, that they were so perverse in the city that they said there was nakedness everywhere in your sight, so that is what you saw all day long everywhere you went. Well, it sounds like they're trying to do that again right here in America. And we say, no, you won't. we have morals and scruples. So Paul is saying to Timothy by the Spirit to the people in the church of Ephesus these things. He's talking about believers. Verse 1, 2 Timothy 3:1. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. He's talking to people in the church. See, when you know the truth will set you free. This is what you got to watch out for in the church. Amen. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into the household to make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. God is speaking to you and me tonight. Crush the deception, know, and share the truth. You can crush deception when you know the truth and you begin to share it with other people. I'm running with a pretty sinful group of men right now. Let me say it differently. I drive my truck, not sinful, in a community of truck drivers that is rather sinful. Did I say that better? But they're not all sinners. I meet more and more day after day, who actually know God and believe in Him. One guy, the name of his trucking company is John 3:16 Transport. That's a pretty good name. See, what is Paul saying? These are people are always learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And what did Jesus say to the scribes and Pharisees? You are going to die in your sin if you do not accept I am the Christ. And did they? Many of them did. Many of them refused to believe. And I'm sure there was many scribes and Pharisees after the crucifixion that said, that's the Son of God. And they changed immediately. Let's grab another verse.
And now I know I was praying for you in the middle of the night. I should have called you then last night.
Yep.
On Facebook.
Oh, on Facebook. Facebook. I don't see Facebook. How did I see her? She was on YouTube.
Oh, she was on YouTube. Yeah, I just went back. The Amplified calls the yeast of the Pharisees fermentation.
Fermentation. Thank you, my mother. But see, it looks... Wait, let me say it. Let me take it. You say it, and then I'll say amen. Right? Go. Amen, Sister Leanne. What the scribes and Pharisees were doing, the law told them they had to do. So it wasn't that they were doing things that were wrong. What was wrong is that their righteousness was found in doing the things. Not in, I'm living a life that's holy so that I can know my God. They were just living the life of things and do's and don'ts, and there was no power in it. And like that's good. The Amplified calls it fermentation. What's fermentation? That's some alfalfa that's been hanging out in the silo for a while now. Have you ever smelt it? Or Or better yet, been around a granary where the grain got moist and then heat. And what happened? Fermentation. You ever been in the bottom of a silo cleaning out that last bit of silage from all that silage that has been in the silo all that time and pushing the juice down, down, down? That's pretty rotten. That's a pretty rotten deal down there in the bottom. But why? Because all of their acts of dedicating to what was supposed to be holiness, they did so that men would look at them. I'm preaching pretty good right now. Did I tell you where we was going next? Well, I asked you to preach.
Unless you said it while I was getting your thoughts.
No, I asked you to preach, and then I would say amen, but you didn't preach. Don't worry, it's coming. Because I was already there once in the spirit. Anyways, it'll come back. Here's another. Oh, I know where that's going. Acts. Go with me to the book of Acts. Acts. Let me see. I think it's Acts chapter 6. Yeah. Here it is. Let's read it. We got time? Are you sure?
Well, not if it's kind of not being done right now.
Just good to be back in the studio with everybody.
Yeah, it is. It is good to have
I got a fresh cup of hot coffee and my grandpa cup. God bless you, Josiah, Micah, and Elijah, my grandson. Amen. Acts 6:1-7. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, I like that sound, disciples multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. That's not people from Helena, Montana. That was the sect of the Pharisees. Because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution of funds, of food. Some people say food, some say funds. The 12 summoned the multitude of the believers, the disciples, and said, it is not desirable or good that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. That those, the 12, who are the leaders, the apostles, would leave their work and go minister the work of the tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among yourselves 7 men. Here's the qualification. Good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, and appoint them over this business. This is from God, by the Spirit. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the world. Look at this. This saying pleased the whole multitude. I don't think the whole multitude's been pleased since then. Well, it's not true. There's a lot of churches where people have come together with their pastor and they get some really big things done. We're getting ready to do it again. Not only right here, but we're going to hit Wilkins Radio. And it won't be long. We're going to be on every one of them stations because God wants this word we're speaking right here on those radio stations, helping people come to the knowledge of the truth in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. The saying, put the whole, and they told Stephen, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, and they chose Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon, and Parmenius, but not Pumba, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid hands on them. This is the verse. Look at verse number 7. Highlight it, put a star by it, circle it. The word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Don't miss the last sentence. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Why? Because the church, the body, began to... And what was going on? They literally were coming to the knowledge of the truth. Now remember, Jesus has died, buried, rose again, and ascended. Holy Spirit has now fallen. The great miracle happened with the lame man, thrown him in jail, and these boys are on the go now. They're going everywhere and tearing the world up. Oh, yeah. And one more thing happened. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit right in church. Down they went and drug them out and buried them. And great reality of God spread amongst all the church from that point. See, God wants you. Who did they appoint over the business? Men who were full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, and had a good testimony, a good reputation, and full of wisdom. Why? You're talking about men good go deal with widows. Not all widows are 80 years old. And some of them widows might think they need something a little besides bread and noodles. Wait, I'm not saying that in a mean way. That's the reality. If you got a 30-year-old widow, she's still got much of life inside of her, even childbearing. And according to the Apostle Paul said, they take care of the true widows and tell the young ones to go get married. So I just throw that out there for a minute. You'll see, when you know the truth, the truth sets you free. I know by the Spirit tonight that some of you still don't get this righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What was that statement we learned yesterday? Uncertainty for to be uncertain is not wrong. She's going to find
I'm looking it up.
Because when you're uncertain about something, it causes you to search. And it's in that search that you actually come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, when you're uncertain and then you come to the knowledge of the truth, now all of a sudden you're no longer uncertain. You get a revelation and your life is transformed forever. You know, part two of always taking a good note?
Remembering
where you put it. Let's see. There it is. To be unsure isn't wrong. The struggle brings clarity.
There you go.
And then you have confidence. Pastor, you mean I'm not wrong for not knowing that at all? No. I don't judge you as being wrong. I just challenge you, get the revelation of the righteousness of God. Why? As soon as you get the revelation, you ain't never going to be anything but righteous anymore. I know some of you are like, that doesn't make any sense, Pastor. I know. Think about it. You will know the truth. No, not here. Not be able to speak from memorization. You will know the truth. I remember in Bible college, of course, in Bible college, you got to memorize verses, you know, and if you can only memorize Jesus wept one time, then you have to memorize another one. That was a pretty easy one to memorize. But I began to get the revelation in Bible college that I didn't need to memorize that verse. I needed to come to the understanding of what the verse was saying, because then it wasn't a problem of would I get every word right. I would understand what that verse was all about. And when I understood it, then I could come to the knowledge of the truth. Did that make as much sense to me as it did to them? See,
yeah.
You and I can sit down let me grab a good verse. Hold on, I got one right over here in Hebrews. You're gonna like this verse, and I'm gonna assign all y'all to memorize this verse, all right? And don't come back next time until you've got this verse completely memorized. No, that's all a joke. All right. So let's memorize this one. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Pastor, do you know how long it would take me to memorize that verse? Yeah, same amount of time it took me to memorize it. Forever. So you know how I get the verse? I got it this way. How much more shall the blood of Jesus purge my conscience from dead works so I can serve the living God? I didn't care what the words were saying. I got the revelation that the blood of Jesus is more powerful than anything that's tried to pervert my conscience. And as soon as I'm born again, that blood purges my conscience from all that dead stuff, and it places within me all of Jesus' righteousness so that I can function from his righteousness, not my old dead man that died when I was baptized. I'm preaching better than you're shouting or throwing things right now.
Did you tell us where that verse is?
Hebrews 9:14. And if you're really good, throw verse 15 in. Hebrews 9:14 and 15. And for this reason, he's the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. You're like, are you kidding me, Pastor? We got to memorize this? See, that's going back to the schoolness or Sunday school. You memorize your verses right now, girls and boys. Well, it's good. You want them to memorize verses, but greater than memorizing the verse, you want them to get reality. I got to get this down inside of my spirit, soul, and body so that I not just can just speak it. I know people that can quote a lot of verses, and they don't have any idea what it means. And
my children memorized 200 or 300 verses every spring so they could be on the quiz team at church. Yeah. So they could wind up going to youth camp and on the national quiz team and all that. And it was nothing but good for them. It kept them out of trouble when they
sure.
were teenagers.
Sure.
And, oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Sure.
Keep preaching it.
Sure. And I know it's interesting because I know a lot of people that were made it to the quiz team that never made it to righteousness. You see, it's got to cross that line. And it's got to get down inside of here. And Jesus said, when you know the truth will actually set you free and cause you to live free all the days of your life. And that's what it is. See, you can't crush the deception until you know the truth. And as soon as you start knowing the truth, you can start crushing deception. I must say it again, and then I'm going to close. Probably not, but I'm sure trying. Paul, let's just turn it. We haven't done this in a long time, so I don't know if I just gave myself permission to keep going here. But. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit for a minute. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 through verse 20, Paul is talking about the armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks. Full armor of God. Now watch. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, the human, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Well, there's only one way that you get to beat the prince of the power of the air. You can't stab him with a knife. You can't shoot him with a pistol. Right?
Right.
You can't hit him with a Tomahawk cruise missile. See, there's only one way to take out the enemy, and that is you got to know this book. You got to come to the knowledge of this book and then begin to use what you know as a shield and a weapon of the enemy. It's both. The word of God is faith, and the word of God is your shield. Now watch. Let's just read it quick. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth. What's that? The word. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is what surrounds and protects your whole being. I gotta get it to you. You can have all kinds of verses memorized, but if the righteousness of God is not protecting your being, you're gonna all of a sudden find out, man, I gotta do something different here. I gotta figure out how to take all these verses and make them work. Keep reading. Having shod your feet with the preparation of gospel of peace. You're still right back to the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What's that? Your bold faith that says, no, by the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony I overcome. The helmet of salvation. You must be born again. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is your offensive weapon. Faith is your defensive weapon. What's faith? You believe God is, and you believe he rewards you when you diligently seek him. Pastor, you've given us so many verses tonight. I don't even know which one to use. The one that stood out to you. Write it down in your notebook. Put a star by it. Underline it. Put a box around it. Why? Because of all the verses we've read tonight, that's the one that you're going to want to give yourself to study. And as you give yourself to study it, begin to use that verse every day, all day long. That's how it goes from memorization to actually becoming part of the doctrine of which you live your life. Like this verse from Sister Leanne, Jeremiah 24:7. How long have you been saying that on the morning program? 3 weeks, maybe? Well, it's taken me 3 weeks to get serious about it. Don't let it take you 3 weeks to get serious about a verse that God brings to you. Get to it immediately. Every time you pick your Bible up, go to that verse and read it and speak two lines out and then and read it right out loud and say, oh, wow, God, thank you. What's he going to do? He's going to give you a couple of those lines, and all of a sudden you're going to be like, wow, that's really making good sense. I got the verses out of Job chapter 33. Talks about a dream and a vision. The verse is down to Psalm 139. You got a book written with your name on it in heaven. And then you get down to Jeremiah 29, but not verse 11, verses 12, 13, and 14. It says, when you seek me, you're going to find me. When you search for me with all your heart. And now look at this one that says, I will give them a heart to know me. God is going to give people a heart to know him. And then I begin to hear the stories of people all across the United States of America, regular good old American folks that God has revealed himself to by the man in the white robe. Well, how dare you think you can get right with God by the man in the white robe when you didn't walk down the aisle of a church and pray, I need Jesus in my life. No, see, when we get into that, we're in the wrong context. You let God reach the people you're praying for however God wants to reach them. Otherwise, you're going to be into a prayer of manipulating and controlling them and God. And you cannot manipulate or control anybody. That's witchcraft. Thought I'd get a bigger amen than that when I was preaching, because I was preaching really, 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 really good. No. How do you make this work? You've got the sword of the Spirit. That's your offense. You've got the shield of faith. That's your defense. So no matter what comes, now that you're a new creation, it's a fiery dart. It ain't you. You're a new creation. That stuff is no longer coming from you. You have been born again. You are a new creation. I remember Phillips or somebody says, a species of beings that never existed before. You. I remember my dear friend Chalmer. God made such an amazing impact in his life. One of my other friends, Ken, came to me and said, what'd you do to Chalmer? And I'm like, what do you mean, brother? He's still driving the Ford pickup. He still has a Husky chainsaw in the bed. He's still got a whole dash full of papers and books. And he still likes to eat a good steak, mashed potatoes, and gravy. But there is something different about that man. The man I used to know is not there anymore. Why? Because Jesus changed him. He was a new creation. All that old stuff was passed away. Yeah, but Pastor, why hasn't it passed away? Because the enemy knows if he can shoot that fiery dart at you enough times, you'll begin to say, oh, that's just me. Oh, that's just me. It ain't just you. It's his fiery dart trying to stop you from being the you that God really made you. In Jesus' mighty name. Crush the deception because you know the truth. And now that you know it, begin to share it with anybody that'll slow down long enough you can talk to them. I haven't said this in quite a while, but anytime somebody who's in your presence says, pray for me, reach your hand out and get a hold of theirs and say, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, bless this person right here, right now, today. Get you some prayer closet. Bring them to their, get you some prayer closet. Cut some pieces of cloth up. Bring them right here and put them by the speakers right where you're listening to the program. Let the anointing of God that's on this service flow out and get in that cloth. Hold them up and we'll all pray over them. And then as people need a prayer, you can hand them that cloth. This is a prayer cloth that we send from our ministry that blesses you. It's your ability to take a prayer home. See, you got to know the truth in order for it to set you free. Let's pray for Brother John. Father, we declare it again right now in Jesus' mighty name. We pray it longer than 60 seconds. In Jesus' name. May every message Brother John has ever heard from us in him and go with him and go through him. And may his trip from Tampa to Arizona be so filled with supernatural, marvelous, amazing miracles, transformations, that by the time he gets there, Lord, may his car just be floating and be translated as he enters in to what it is you're showing him to do. We bless our brother in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Now.
Mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Jesus said to the Pharisees, when you know the truth will set you free. The truth isn't going to, the truth will never lead you to put yourself out front where people can see you. Never. The truth will cause you to stand up and people will see you. But it's never the desire to be seen. It's the desire that he would be seen. You know how many people are going to know a whole stack of verses and still go to hell? That's a scary thought, isn't it? Hang around church or religious people all of your life and never once get your heart right with God. Don't let that be you. I know tonight, right now, as I'm speaking this on this video, that I'm talking to about 15 people right now. Now that, I'm not saying that's the 15 I can see. I can just tell there's about 15 people here tonight that this word has impacted your life. Don't just make it a light service. Well, that's good, Pastor. Thank you. Get this message out and listen to it 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 and listen to it. Put some timestamps in the comments. What? Because the next time you can come back, you can go right to that one spot. Click on that number. It'll be in your comment. You'll be able to find it. And you'll be able to go right back to that point in the message. It's an amazing way to study on YouTube. I put timestamps in on everybody's videos anywhere they let me, and they don't kick them out. Man, when remember that message? Remember that video we used to watch on our worship time from McDowell? Mm-hmm. I had timestamps all through that marked every one of the different songs he sang. Why? Because there's sometimes I want to go back there and hear just that song. Click that little timestamp, and it takes you right back there to that spot again. And you'll know the truth. And it'll bless you. Father, matter of fact, everybody pray this. Just pray it right out loud. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you in my life.
And I want the word of God.
And I want the word of God.
On my lips.
On my lips.
That will transform somebody's life.
That will transform somebody's
That will life. Make them want to be like me.
That will make them want to be like you.
Because I'm following you, Jesus. Help me lead them to you.
Help me lead them to you.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
See, the word of God is going to make you bold, but not brash and not harsh and not religious. It's Jesus to walk in the truth. Share this with your friends, your neighbors, and your countrymen. Share it with them. Share it with them. Isn't that something? Don't you love the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I did.
I was standing in a specific building in West Branch, Michigan. But that's all the identifying factors I'm going to give because in case this wonderful person is listening, and I don't want anybody to be ashamed. But somebody walked in and said something to this guy standing there about the fact that he used to go to youth camp when he was a teenager. And he was probably 55, 50-ish then. All right. Now think about that. I'm in a convenience store with a whole pack of sinners. I walk in just in time for this guy to say to this guy, remember back when we used to go to youth camp from church? He's like, oh, yeah. He goes, do you remember any of those songs we used to sing? And this guy starts singing one of them. But I know both of them. Both of them are sinners. And I just stood there listening, and they're going back and forth. Remember any of them Bible verses? These are two guys that do not claim to be a Christian at all. And it's like, why did you start saying that when I walked through the building? All right. You know why? Because 25 years later, that man, the one man, came to this stream and said, thank you for preaching the truth. And I watched him in COVID find God. Isn't that something how that worked? And just for the reference point, you could have never convinced me that man ever spent a day at youth camp, at Bible camp, anywhere in his whole life. Not a single day you couldn't have convinced me. You see, you and I never know who's standing in front of us and what seed has already been planted in them by Almighty God. And that's why this message says, crush the deception. Know, share the truth. What season is it? It's the season to know God, come to God, to know God, and to share God. That's the season that it is. And I encourage you, be found faithful in Jesus, by the way. Now, how do I take that whole message and put it down into 15 minutes for Wilkins? However, we can take the whole message and put it into about 5-15 minutes in Jesus' my name. It's about ready to get gooder and gooder, because we're going to add another whole platform here of what God is doing. And you're going to see us change. Don't resist the change. Change with us. Come with us and grow with us. You got to grow. And you got to develop in God. And we want everyone of you to be with us. Jesus Christ. It's time to receive communion. 40 minutes ago. It's all right. I spoke the word of God, and I do not apologize for preaching long. Because it's not long. When we stand before Jesus, we're going to be so glad that we gave ourselves to study, to 3 years of study, to grow and develop and help people come to the knowledge of the truth. You're going to be glad you did it in Jesus' name. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, you may have never been around with our communion effort, but I'm going to tell you, during COVID, during the pandemic, there was a lot of people that wrote me and said, Pastor, send me your communion service. I want to do it in my own church. And I'll bet I sent that to 50 people. There's been a lot of people like, Pastor, you don't do communion like you're supposed to. And I don't appreciate how you do it. Well, I don't know what to tell you, because Jesus appreciates how we do it. He's the one that gave us the assignment. And I encourage you, stick around and say, Jesus, help me grow and develop, because we've been given this assignment by Almighty God. Here we go, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. So Jesus said, as often as you drink this, drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. His redemptive work. Jesus didn't. He had to do more than just die. He had to rise again, triumphant, and he had to ascend to sit at the Father's right hand. His redemptive work. Verse 28, here's the process. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now, for all of you that memorized Hebrews 9, 14, and 15, go ahead and we'll quote it right now. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love, God's perfect love, has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. How's that? Because as he, capital He, Jesus is right now, so are we in this world. He's the head. We're the body, Christ. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment that goes with it, the trauma. I bind you trauma. I bind you torment. Get out of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, pray the prayer of salvation with me tonight. I'm going to, all right, pray the prayer of salvation with me tonight. I've got it right here on a note. Gives you the ability to say the words right along with us. Makes it so that we can all pray the same prayer. I want you to be able to understand what it is we're praying so that it'll be a blessing to you. Don't just say words. Don't just say words. Pray this as a prayer from the depths of your heart in Jesus' mighty name. Hang on, there's a couple more rearrangements to do here. Are you ready? Almost there. The prayer of salvation. Pray this with us. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power understand the word of God. Pray in my heavenly language and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with good people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Let's just put a better word in there. We don't just need good people. We need godly people.
Amen.
Now, welcome to the family of God. You might say, hey, Pastor, what if I'm not crying or feeling any emotion? Well, what you should be experiencing is that transformation is happening on the inside of you right now. You should be transformed on the inside of you from darkness to light right now, right in here, right now. Should be going on. You should be moving from fear to faith right now by the presence and power of Almighty God. Because that's what just happened. Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, just came to live on the inside of you because you said, come and live in me. And he did. You mean, Pastor, I'm like, I got God with me? Yeah. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now remember this. God's presence cannot dwell where sin is. That sit there a minute. Well, then how in the world can he be in my life then? I just was sinning tonight. I know. Because when you said, I receive all of your grace, your mercy, your love, and your righteousness, Jesus filled you with that. He said, to as many as receive me, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God. You receive him. And you get the power. It's amazing. And now, you've been made an heir of God, a joint heir of Jesus. You're a part of the greatest family that has ever been on the face of this earth. The family of God. And God is your Father in Jesus' name. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell so that you can be connected to us. And you can find this channel again, and it'll be a blessing to you. There's a whole playlist on our YouTube channel about the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What's the name of it? The Reality of Righteousness.
The Reality of Righteousness.
You can search that up on the internet with my name, The Reality of Righteousness, and you would find all those videos. There's like 19 of them, isn't there? Something like that. And they're from all through the history of this ministry. You're going to hear many different people's names mentioned. And some of them were laughing and shouting, and some were just preaching and teaching. But what is it? It's the reality of what righteousness is. And I would encourage you to just start listening to them all. It'll be a blessing to you. You'll actually hear through the messages a progression of understanding that we've come to as we've been ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what all of us must do. So just get connected with us. Send me an email. My email address is right down there in the notes. And it'll be a blessing to you. Just send me questions. Send me answers. But most of all, we want to help you. And you can't ever get help being quiet. You got to ask somebody. You know, don't call in and try to interrupt the program. But the idea is get some help. That's why we like having YouTube and Facebook, because you can type in comments right while we're teaching and ministering. Remember this about God. The Holy Spirit is never going to interrupt Jesus. He came to magnify Jesus. So when the word is being given, we're not going to get a gift of the Spirit in the middle of the word to interrupt the word, because that's not the Holy Spirit's place. He doesn't interrupt the word. He comes to magnify the word. And so, but put your questions in and get to an understanding. I've gone to preaching. Here we go. Get you some communion elements, some grape juice and bread, bread and water, and we're going to receive communion together. Now, this prayer is right on your screen, so you have the ability to pray it out loud with us. Ready? Pray this with me. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Say this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotion, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you endured the cross, despised the shame, and you sat down at the right hand of God. And now, I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You know, God did the same thing for you. He cut a blood covenant with you. He sacrificed his own son to provide the covenant. Jesus' broken body and shed blood have become the eternal proof of God's love for you. Through communion, he urges you to remember them again and again, so that when your faith is challenged by deception, you have a strong consolation in Jesus, your Redeemer. It's a good word, isn't it? Good word. Well, God bless you. We should sing a song. Let's sing. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Oh, wait a minute. I'm gonna go it up, and then I'll sing it again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so full and free. All right, Sister Phyllis, let's read our Jude verses tonight, like
Jude.
We do.
Okay.
We always close our, most times we close our time together with a couple very important closing verses. And why do we use the same ones, Pastor? Because when you give and when you've been given an assignment by God, you do it till he gives you a different assignment. That's just that simple.
Well,
that's our assignment. Go ahead, Sister Phyllis.
So this is verse 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, the glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And can I also read a couple of verses from Revelation
here?
Yeah, help
yourself. Chapter 1,
verse from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
It just clarifies everything. I love it.
Amen. And amen. And then one more last set of verses. I know you might say, Pastor, this is a lot. Wait, I know that I'm reaching very specific people. And for those of you praying for your loved ones, never stop praying Job 33:14 through 18. For God may speak. God is speaking in one way and another. Yet man is not perceiving it, by deception or confusion or cares of the world. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while they're slumbering on their beds, that he, God, opens the ears of men, seals their instruction in them, in order to turn man from his deed, conceal pride from man, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. 25, his flesh shall be young like a child. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his faith with joy, for God restores to man his righteousness. Till we see you again, what we have to say. Remember to join us tomorrow morning for prayer for our nation. That is 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, right here on YouTube, like we are in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Roger, John, Rebecca, anybody else show up over there? Mom, bless you, Mom. Sister Sunday, sure you're there somewhere. May God richly bless you. May all of our family on Blog Talk Radio be blessed. No matter what nation it is that you're in, may the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and add no sorrow with the fields. In Jesus' mighty name.